Next item is ordinance 2026-12, an ordinance amending Title 19 zoning of the Petersburg Municipal Code to regulate wireless communication facilities and other towers and transmitters. This is the first reading. If approved, this ordinance would establish zoning and permitting standards for wireless communication facilities and other towers. It requires these facilities to be reviewed as conditional uses, providing public notice and Planning Commission review and approval, while remaining consistent with the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996 and related regulations. The ordinance created a new chapter of this municipal code governing wireless facilities, prioritizes co-location and use of existing structures, and sets development standards addressing location, safety, visual impacts, and FCC compliance. It is intended to balance the community's needs for reliable wireless and other communication services with public safety and aesthetic concerns. And in this package, there's not only the ordinance, but also a director, memo from Director Cabrera discussing the details of this particular ordinance. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-12 on the first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Newman. Discussion.
Oh, there's so much to discuss. Liz is here. Liz, can you say something? Can you talk about this, please?
Do you want to give a summary?
This took a long time, and we appreciate you for taking all the effort to balance it as best you could.
Well, I think basically everything I had to say is in the memo. But the ordinance establishes a zoning and permitting framework for wireless communication facilities, as well as non-WCF wireless communication facilities, such as radio and television broadcast, and then provides exemptions where federally required, and also for personal things like ham radio antennas and satellite dishes and things like that that we're required to exempt from local ordinance and local regulation. It attempts to address some of the issues that have been brought forward by the public, especially siting issues, by establishing a hierarchy. So we are establishing a preference for co-location, meaning that we would prefer that new companies coming in co-locate on an existing tower. And as you go through the hierarchy, the last one, you know, near the end, it's new towers. And so an applicant coming in would have to demonstrate that they could not choose something higher on the hierarchy. They couldn't do co-location because technically infeasible, perhaps the tower can't support anything new on it, or some other reason that they, you know, cannot co-locate before they can look at establishing a new tower. And then new towers, part of the requirement for that would be providing alternate sites. So where did they look, and why were those sites not feasible for them? And why is this the best site? So it adds a whole level of scrutiny that we have not had before. It still only allows towers in commercial and industrial districts. So that part of it didn't change, but it did change them from a by right use to a conditional use.
Okay. Other questions for Member Stan Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to briefly and thoroughly thank Liz Cabrera and her staff for the laborious hours spent investing their time and resources on this. As I joked around a bit on the radio earlier today, it is encourage all members of the public to read the, I believe it's 17 pages. It is not light reading. There's a lot to digest there, and I very, very much appreciate the thorough effort from staff put into this. Thank you again.
Member Martin.
To Liz, has this gone through the Planning Commission? I didn't catch up on the last meeting there on the 12th.
So the Planning Commission was involved on the front end, mm-hmm. and so they provided basically an outline of what they recommended an outline, and so then this ordinance is the fleshed out version of that outline. So they set the separation distances and things like that, you know, how far things could be, the setbacks.
I remember that part, thanks.
Yeah.
Your memo was really good. It was a lot more fun reading your memorandum than the ordinance. If the public has something they would like different, can that happen during the three reading process, or does it reset anything? Or I mean, how can the public get involved in this if they have further changes or tweaks?
Well, there's a public hearing at the next assembly meeting, so that would be, I think, the time, opportune time to come forward with some suggestions. I would say the structure of the ordinance is complicated, and so change one thing might require some amendments to other things, and so it just depends on how extensive, you know, the changes you want to make.
Yeah, I don't have any in mind. I'm just wondering, we'd have to make amendments up here.
Yeah, you do.
And that whole process.
Yeah.
To Member Martin's, I would urge anybody who has detailed thoughts on this that they submit them in writing to the assembly and or to Liz at that point, because this is a very complicated ordinance. I think one of the most complicated I've seen. At any rate, I think that would make it much easier to be able to address those the particular items in there if you had the comments in writing and detailed comments.
That sounds a lot better than just listening to some public testimony and then trying to craft an amendment here on the fly. That just sounds really awkward.
Yes, no, I agree. And on this one, I would urge you, if you have comments, to put those in writing in detail, because one of those sections affects another section, which affects the other parts of it. And so it doesn't just change one little piece of it. It may change the whole ordinance in essence. Is there other Member Valentine?
Yeah, I was going to basically echo exactly what you guys were saying. It's better. There is a public hearing on this next in 2 weeks,
June 1st.
Is it already June? Wow. June 1st. And it's better for anybody in the public to find an assembly member to talk to in advance, because very little will be done right here during that time, because like everybody is saying, it's going to take a lot to readjust all this. And I'd like to note to the public that it's really easy to say, just put a blanket stop over everything, but it's never that easy. And I know that Liz has spent a lot of time with our lawyer going back and forth to make this as tight as she could, even though we still have to abide by an old 1996 Telecom Act, right? We still have to abide by that. And so she did as best a job as she could with what you see here. And I recommend anybody who's really concerned about this, read this with a fine eye and then understand the process it might have taken to why maybe the setbacks are maybe not to your standard, but why she may have set it this way, or fencing or height or lighting or protrusion, signs, fencing, all this stuff. So just in the next 2 weeks, if you do, I would encourage you to do it beforehand instead of right at the meeting, expecting something at the meeting. Thank you.
Anybody else? Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. To Member Valentine's point, you know, for us to get anything on the agenda for the June 1st meeting, it has to be to the clerk by noon on the 25th of this month. So if you get it to us after that deadline, it's going to be hard to be included in the packet for the June 1st meeting. So hopefully this 17 pages and the 7 pages from Director Cabrera will be on the borough's website. So if people were thinking that they wanted to look at it and weigh in on some changes, it would be nice to hear from them between now and May 25th at noontime, just so that it can be part of our process. And we could certainly do it as an amendment at the meeting, but for everybody to kind of be on the same page, it would be nice if it was in that packet for the June 1st meeting. So thank you.
I would go a little bit further than that. I would say that present it so that those changes could be made on the last reading. So you have a comprehensive package to make changes, if there are to be changes. Member Stan Greger?
Yeah, just a brief point of order slash clarification. Anything submitted would just be feedback for us for the next meeting. Any changes will be done by amendment. Any suggestions will not be included in the ordinance as it'll have to be amended by us. So just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Martin?
Wondered if manager or clerk could clarify, what's the difference, functional difference between persons to be heard and the public hearing portion? Anything really going to change at the next meeting?
No, I don't think so. I think they're very similar, but with that public hearing, it just draws attention to the fact that we're on the second reading of an ordinance. So it just notifies people that that's their time to speak about that ordinance. But people can speak at any meeting on an ordinance, but that public hearing is a great time to bring issues forward.
May, yeah, what Becky says is correct. This is an exceptionally complex ordinance. So I think the mayor is right. And if for folks who are interested in this topic, submitting something in writing to the assembly or to Liz, like, you know, but to the assembly, really, I think would be really important. Assembly member, you know, Stanton Greger said it right. Now that this has been presented, it has to be, if it's going to be amended, it has to be by the assembly through the amendment process. I mean, staff can't change it. We can come up with something and we can give it to one of you and say, okay, what do you think of this? But it has to be an assembly member that makes the amendment to the ordinance. And as Liz said, and I really agree, changing things in this ordinance are going to be difficult. We will have as much time as someone can give us, the more likely we can be accurate on making sure we get it right. Because we'll have to run it by the attorney to say, hey, what by changing this, what else should change? So I don't think, so for Assemblymember Mucci's issue, we don't have to put it on the agenda as a separate agenda item. That's just part of the amendment process that goes on with the three readings.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I would prefer not to look at one item at a time, but look at it comprehensively so that if there's a dozen comments, what have you, that we can look at it comprehensively rather than just one at a time, because then the next idea may change the first idea and so forth. I'd rather we see, to save Director Cabrera some time, just do it once with all the changes. Member Newman?
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to thank Liz for all the hard work she's done on this. And I know I've had lots of conversations with her as well, as we all have. But also just wanted to clarify, I guess, just for the public that once this passes in whatever way, shape, or form that it comes in, it doesn't apply retroactively to companies that have already applied in their permitting process with the FCC.
Other comments or questions? Member Valentine?
Just a comment. Again, thank you, Liz. I know you're spending a lot of time on this, but this is, this may not, like, everyone loves this, but it is really cool to see, you know, an effort to the first line of defense that we've been talking about for a long time. It's here. It's sitting right here. So I really recommend people read it. And, thank you.
Other comments from assembly members? Okay, with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Greger?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that, the ordinance on the first reading of the wireless communications facility passes 7-0. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, Resolution 2026-13, a resolution of Petersburg Borough setting the millage rates for the fiscal year July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. If approved, this resolution will establish the property tax millage rates for the fiscal year July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027, based on final assessed property values and in accordance with borough code and charter limits. The adopted rates fund area-wide services, education, voter-approved general obligation bond debt, and service area one services, and sets the due date for 2026 property taxes. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution 2026-13 setting the mill rate for fiscal year July 1st, 2026?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. A discussion. With that, the finance director have any additions, changes? Okay. Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll on resolution 2026-13, setting the millage rate for fiscal year, next fiscal year, for through June 30th, 2027.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
And resolution 2026-13 passes unanimously. Moving on to resolution 2026-14, a resolution authorizing the borough manager to transfer ownership of certain antique fire apparatus to the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department Association. If approved, this resolution would allow Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department Association to take ownership of three antique fire apparatus. It is restored and maintained. The association will assume all insurance and maintenance responsibilities, continue to make the vehicles available for public display, and return ownership to the borough if the association dissolves. A letter from William Tremblay, the PVFD, Association President, is attached to this agenda item. Do I have a motion to approve resolution 2026-14?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Martin. Discussion from the Assembly? Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So if these vehicles are transferred, will they just stay in Fire Station 2, or will they have a new home?
That would be an agreement between me as the director and the association president, but yes, the plan is to keep them at Scale Bay.
Other questions from the Assembly? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, would clerk please call the roll on resolution 2026-14, authorizing the borough manager to transfer ownership of certain antique fire apparatus to the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department Association.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that passes 7-0. To transfer the ownership of the fire apparatus to the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department Association. Moving on to resolution 2026-15, a resolution of the Petersburg Borough Assembly approving the sale of a borough-owned parcel to Taylor Jensen. If approved, resolution 2026-15 would authorize the sale of a borough-owned parcel at 505 Mill Street to Taylor Jensen under the negotiated contract to sale. The Planning Commission recommended approval after a public hearing, and the Assembly later authorized direct negotiations. The parcels are not needed for municipal use, and PMC 16.12.160C requires Assembly approval by resolution for their disposal. The contract to sale is attached to this agenda item. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution for the sale of a piece of borough property to Taylor Jensen?
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Mucci. Discussion. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this $7,500 just goes into the property development fund? Just curiosity.
Through the mayor, yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for the manager? Hearing none, would clerk please call the roll on resolution 2026-15?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin? Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And that passes 7-0 to sale to, for the sale of that property of parcel to Taylor Jensen. Moving on, land purchase application. The borough has received an application from Robert Funk to purchase borough-owned property at 502 Lumber Street. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on April 14, 2026, as required by PMC 16.12.080, and recommends approval of the sale of the property to the applicant. The assessed value of the property is $33,100. The Planning Commission's report is attached to this agenda item. During this meeting, the Assembly shall determine whether the application shall move forward in the application process or be denied. If the application is to move forward, the Assembly shall schedule a public sale or exempt the application and disposal from public sale. If public sale, the Assembly shall determine if the sale shall be an outcry auction or sealed bid, and shall choose a date, time for the sale. If exempted from public sale, the Assembly shall establish the alternative method, terms, and conditions of disposal. Do I have a motion to approve the sale of this the property to Robert Funk?
Mr. Mayor, I would approve, or I would move that we approve the application to move forward by direct sale to Mr. Funk. If that works okay, clerk, for language.
Yes, that's good.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. There is, I hear no thoughts here, so would clerk please call the roll.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Valentine? Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that the sale is approved 7-0. Now we need to take a look at establishing a date and time for the sale.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, could I suggest that that be held off? We were trying to gather some properties to do it all at once. I guess it wouldn't matter if it's a direct sale. Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, that...
yeah, never mind, I apologize. If it's a direct sale, then we don't need to schedule anything.
Right. If that's okay with the Assembly. Okay, seeing yes is here, so...
Apologies.
Okay, we will move forward. Member Stanton Gregor.
No, I was just gonna clarify exactly what you and the manager just figured out, that if we're doing it by direct sale, there's no date, the manager can sort it out. So we're square and good to go, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, we have a letter of interest for the Planning Commission. Right now we have one vacant seat on the Planning Commission. The Assembly has received a letter of interest from Jim Floyd expressing his willingness to serve on the Planning Commission. His letter is presented for Assembly review and consideration for appointment. If appointed, Mr. Floyd will serve until the October 2026 election. Unless without any disagreement, I would appoint Mr. Floyd to the Planning Commission for the duration of this calendar year.
So moved. Oh, wait.
I didn't hear anything, so Mr. Floyd is now appointed.
Appointed.
Yay.
Approved.
Okay.